And hello, everyone. Thank you very much for tuning in to the FTI Combat Sports Show here on the FTI Network. My name is Chris Asbrock, and I'm joined here by Jen Kim. We are brought to you by a brand new sponsor of ours, Dickey's Barbecue Pit. With two brand new locations that are opening up. The first one in South Lebanon, 400 Corwin Nixon Boulevard in South Lebanon, Ohio. That one's already open. Let me tell you what, it is absolutely making a killing. The next location, the Mason location at 9540 Mason Montgomery Road in Mason, Ohio. That location has yet to be opening up. I do know firsthand that it will be opening up in a couple weeks. But make sure you check out Dickies.com. That's got, you know, all the information you're going to need. So make sure you check out Dickies.com, Dickies Barbecue Pit. So we want to thank them for being a brand new sponsor of the FTI Combat Sports Show and actually the whole FTI Sports landscape here and our products. So we want to thank them very much. Well, we're back here for the first time in a while. My schedule, baseball schedule, that it is, has kind of tossed a wrench into some things, but we wanted to get something posted here within a couple days here of the massive fight, the Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather fight. There's been a lot of news going around here, Jen, about the past couple days in the world of combat sports. Well, I didn't even ask how you were doing. I apologize. How are you doing?
Okay. I'm okay. I was doing a lot better before, but no.
Okay, fair enough. That one's on me. I'll take full responsibility.
I'm doing great. Good to be back. Well, you know, this is the biggest fight of the, you know, our generation, I'll say for sure.
I have to agree.
I cannot say it will be the best fight, but it will definitely be the biggest fight.
I know obviously we'll get into it a little more, but I think a lot of it is going to come down to, well, I'm going to hold off on that. We'll wait until we get to it. But one thing that is going to be, that's going to impact this is the news of Jon Jones.
Yeah.
Man, I'm struggling, man. It's been a while.
So is John Jones.
I'm rusty, man.
It's okay. So is John Jones.
it's rusty.
Yeah.
The news of John Jones, it came down a couple days ago that Dana White and the UFC had stripped John Jones of his light heavyweight title and suspended him indefinitely.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea. He was busted for a hit and run. He's facing felony charges for a hit and run to where he hit a pregnant woman. In her car, she ended up with a broken arm, and luckily it could have been much worse than what
definitely
it was.
I saw the picture of his car, the rented car, the SUV. It was completely wrecked.
Yeah.
The front was gone.
I had seen that same picture. Reports are that he took off, but it came back to get basically some cash, I think.
And police found,
a lot of cash is what I saw a witness had stated, but
he forgot the pipe, though. He forgot the pipe.
Well, I was going to say, the police found some marijuana in his car. Yeah, so that's a big problem. But
if he was intoxicated and he forgot about it, that's one of those side effects.
Yeah, basically what it comes down to is John Jones is facing some serious charges here on this, and he's had a rough year. Let's just be honest
A few years. And, you know, he had a DWI back in the day.
Yeah.
Just got caught, you know, or got tested positive for cocaine.
The cocaine, opiates, or whatever, with his last fight with Daniel Cormier. But I think that in this case, basically what the UFC did, they stripped John Jones and they removed him from the card, which, I mean, heading into a UFC 187, it's a massive card. I mean, a massive
Anthony
card.
Rumble Johnson, man.
I know.
I was looking forward to that fight so much because I know how tough that guy is. I heard he's hit really, really hard. And DC's looking forward to fight him, but, you know, everybody's mad. You know, bottom line is, not only John Jones is mad at himself, but everybody's mad at him. UFC's mad at him. Reebok just dropped him.
I know.
Muscle Tech just dropped him. Everybody's mad. All the fighters are mad too.
Oh, I know.
Fight the best.
That's the thing is, now you have with them stripping him of the title. Now you have Daniel Cormier, who was set to fight in June. Mm-hmm. I think it was June 6th, I believe, is when it was
supposed to fight Ryan Bader.
Yeah, they moved him up to now fight Anthony Rumble Johnson for the vacant light heavyweight title, the interim title. But there's a lot of there's still a lot of firepower on this card. Mm-hmm. However, having John Jones as your main event, you know, that's something, you know, that's something in and of itself.
I mean, pound for pound best.
Yeah.
Probably, but having him taken out of UFC and MMA out, you know, in general, takes a toll on their sports.
Exactly.
You know, the fans.
Well, see, that's one thing I wanted to bring up with you. We have Mayweather Pacquiao in 2 days on Saturday. Mm-hmm. That's $100.
Yeah.
$100 pop right there if you wanna order that pay per view.
Exactly.
You know, less than basically 20 days later, or 20 or 21 days later, you have UFC 187.
Could have been a blockbuster as well.
I mean, most fight fans aren't going to be paying for both.
Right.
You know.
They're just trying to find a way to watch the boxing, you know?
Yeah.
And depending on the result or how boring it could possibly be, it could change things around for UFC as well. And maybe fans will refocus on the MMA.
Exactly. I mean, this is a tough one. I mean, but if you look at the card, I mean, the UFC 187 card, you know, Cormier Johnson, you got Weidman, Vitor Belfort, Cerrone's on there, Arlovsky's on there, Travis Brown, Joseph Benavidez, John Moraga. You have a loaded card. And, I mean, the preliminary card is, you know, jacked as well.
Yeah, that's a big card.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
Vitor Weidman, that's, everybody wants to see that.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
America's best against the Brazil's best.
I know.
Bottom line.
And plus, you have Luke Rockhold.
Mm-hmm.
He's waiting in the wings,
yeah,
man.
He's gonna get his shot next two, maybe coming up.
Well, like you said, and he did it perfect. Mm-hmm. Luke Rockhold, if you guys watched the fight night, which honestly the fight night card was better than
the one previous.
The UFC pay-per-view was it last Saturday with Demetrius Johnson on there, who I know he wins again against Horiguchi, but
really doesn't have any competition. That's what it is. That weight class, he dominates.
And see, a lot of people, you know, crucify him for not
heavy competition.
They say he's boring.
That's not true. I mean,
if you look at what they say about him, they shred him for it.
Here's the thing.
But, I mean,
that guy is so fast. That's the thing. It's hard to watch him with the naked eyes.
Yeah.
Because he's so fast. His footwork, his speed, his everything is super fast. I mean, it's to go from, you know, watching guys at 205 heavyweights to guy watching, you know, watching guys at 125, it's hard to compare that, you know? You're watching completely two different sports almost.
Definitely.
And Demetrius Johnson being possibly the pound for pound as well. I mean, he's one of the best in the world at his weight class. I mean, I don't see Mighty Mouse, you know, getting any other competition, you know, next week. I want to see a catchweight at 130 with somebody from 135. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
You know, I think he has enough strength and power to fight a guy who at 135, you know, come down and make a catchweight at 130 and fight maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But at 125, he really has no future. You know, he should just retire the belt and say, I own this. Challenge him if you want, I'll come down for it. But go up to 135 and, you know, challenge those guys because I think he's good enough to fight guys 135.
You know, the thing is, a lot of people, you know, like I was saying, a lot of people shred him for, like I said, being a very boring fighter, and he's not a draw. So, having Rampage back on that card, UFC 186 card, did draw some eyes, but, I mean, and I did hear on another radio show that people were saying, you know what, Demetrius Johnson is more of a headliner for a fight night card, one of the free cards. That's where Demetrius Johnson needs to be.
Right.
Or a co-main event.
And have another big fight.
Exactly. Like, he'd be good on this 187 card.
Right.
You know, because you could throw him in there for title, and there you go. Boom. Because you still got, you know, Weidman, Belfort, Cormier, and Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. But he can't headline his own pay-per-view.
Own event, right. He
can do it for free,
right,
but not for the... Exactly. Yeah, people aren't going to be dishing out cash to see him.
Only match I thought that was, you know, enjoyable to watch, and it was actually close enough, was John Dawson. You know, back about 2 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually a decent fight because John Dawson is incredibly talented. He's definitely the number. I think he's number two in the weight class. I would love to see them fighting because they only fought once. But once again, you know, Demetrius Johnson is just a dominating fighter in that weight class. That I would love to see somebody, you know, from 135 or making him, you know, move up to challenge somebody because you don't have anybody coming up. You know, somebody comes up and, you know, he just destroys him.
I mean, Dodson, he's the only other He's listed as, I'm looking at the rankings now. Dotson's one, Joseph Benavides is two.
Yeah.
Ian McCall three, John Moraga. But then after that, I mean, you know, he already beat Kyoji Horiguchi. You know, that was his last fight. I mean, he got Carriasso. But it's just, it's not, you know, it's guys that he's already, you know, taken care of. So it's kind of one of those, you know, what do? You know, it's tough. It's a really tough spot to be in for Demetrius Johnson. I like watching him. I've always been a big fan of his. Mm-hmm. So I do feel bad for him. But, you know,
I love to see him at 135 because I want to see how he would compare to guys who are slightly bigger. Mm-hmm. Maybe definitely have a height advantage of 2-3 inches, but then he will definitely have an edge of speed. And I want to see him fight against guys who's slightly slower but a little powerful and see how he compares to it. You know what I mean? Because if you go up to middleweight at, you know, 185, there's a gap of 20 pounds between them and the light heavyweight. But yeah, this is only 10 pounds. It's almost as close it gets to, you know, boxing weight class. It's a 7-pound difference.
See, but if you look at guys, okay, you got, obviously, you know, Demetrius Johnson, the flyweight. Mm-hmm. If you look up bantamweight, mm-hmm, TJ Dillashaw is your mm-hmm champion. If you look at, I mean, how do you think he would fare against guy Hendon Burrell, Dominic Cruz, Uriah Faber, you know?
I think he'd be okay, man.
McDonald, Mizugaki. I mean, like, I don't know, though.
I mean, I could see that happening. I could see him beating Dominic Cruz. I think he's a better wrestler and a boxer than Dominic Cruz. And he's probably faster. Dominic Cruz is probably stronger. He's got a 3-inch advantage. How tall is Demetrius Johnson? 5'5"?
Let me pull it up here, actually. That way I'm not giving you incorrect information. Let's see. Wow, the UFC site is, like, looking rough right now.
Yeah,
jeez. Yeah. He's 5'3".
5'3", okay, that's a big difference. That's 5 inches.
5'3", 125.
I didn't think it was that short. Oh, okay. Still, yeah. I don't think Dominic Cruz is 5'8". He looks 5'6 to me.
Let's see.
5'8 with his boots on.
Let's see what Dominic Cruz is here. He's, 5'8".
Yeah, so 5 inch difference.
I mean,
Uriah Faber's not very tall, though. You know,
watch your mouth about Uriah Faber. Watch your mouth.
He's only 5'6".
I'll come across this right now and smoke you. Faber, I love Uriah Faber.
He used to fight at 145, too, though. He switches back and forth because he's got a lot of muscle on, you know?
I love Uriah Faber. I think outside of him and, let's see. Wow. See, yeah, he's 5'6".
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's not that big of a difference.
Man. I mean, it would be interesting.
I mean, you see guys that's so much smaller, but once he puts 10 pounds of muscle on, it's a different story. He's going to hit so much harder.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to try to maintain that speed. He's a better wrestler.
He'll lose some of that speed, but I don't think enough to really.
I think his footwork will be still there with a 125 weight class. Maybe he's, you know, overall speed will be, you know, slightly decreased, but, you know, as long as he has that footwork, I know he's wrestling, he's top of the notch, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's get back to the whole John Jones thing here. What does...
Do you think he'll get time?
Well, I mean, he's facing some felonies, like...
Yeah, it depends on what, you know, I mean, I have a feeling he's going to plead
no contest. I mean, it's a legit run, I mean...
He cannot plead no guilty, obviously, because there's so much proof.
Well, see, the thing is, UFC, they had to do something. There's no way they could have let him fight. I mean, there's no way. The PR nightmare that would have come from that, I mean, that...
Because I know that he has no restriction, you know, on traveling. So he could technically travel and fight if he wants to.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm sure the court date is in the future sometime. So let's say that they do a slap in the wrist. He pays for all the medical and, you know, physical damages, you know, and pays fine, you know, steep fine, and gets, let's say, 3-year probation, right? Do you think they'll put him back on that list and fight for the title again? Because I know...
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was just going to ask you this. What does he have to do to gain that trust of Dana White and, I mean, Lorenzo Fertitta of UFC? Like, what does he have to do? And especially in the fans' eyes as well. I mean, because he's really now... I mean, you're talking about arguably their biggest star.
Outside. He could have been the best fighter ever. He was on the track.
he has done what he's doing what he can to really mm-hmm. to piss it away, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's a shame because John Jones is truly incredible. Mm-hmm. Everyone, I think everyone loves watching him fight. What does he have to do? I don't know.
Well, first of all, he's got to take responsibility for what happened. You know, he's got to go through the whole 9 yards and.
Well, see, when he checked himself into rehab after the cocaine thing, he checked himself out a day after.
Right.
That's not
a rehab.
You know, that's not taking responsibility for you.
I don't know honestly what Dana White is planning on doing once he gets everything cleared up. But
yeah.
I think the right thing to do is to make sure that you test this guy, you know, prior to fight, after the fight, and make sure he's clean.
Yeah.
First thing first. I mean, if he gets caught with something and tests positive, you gotta strip the win away from him. You cannot give him that. And that's what I think I would do. You know, if I was in, because you've already had multiple strikes on the, you know, record. You got positive for cocaine. Now this hit and run. You found, you know, marijuana and paraphernalia in the car. And I mean, this guy has the nerve to come back to the car and grab his cash.
Oh no.
You know, I mean, if you were in a right state of mind, the first thing you would worry is get out of the car and make sure everybody's okay in the accident. That's what a normal person will do. But this guy has such a big ego, he just wants to get out of trouble right away. Thinking that he could get away, he runs away and comes back and get the cash and run away again. That is so low. That is low as it gets, you know?
Yeah.
He is literally acting like a criminal.
This looks like a quote here from Chael Sonnen. Let's see. Yeah, Chael Sonnen said this. This is pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Taking away his belt was one of the options on the table, but I don't think it went as well. Let me try that again. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like it's worded right here.
He says things weird.
Well, I know. Taking away his belt was one of the options on the table, but I don't think it was well thought through, said Sonnen. Yeah, mm-hmm. You see that quote was kind of messed up mm-hmm. on the website I'm looking at. What will they do to John Jones now? Put him on preliminary cards? It's weird. You either cut the guy completely or shut mm-hmm. up. I mean, that's kind of. I mean, how many chances is the UFC going to give him? You know. I mean, do you have to put him on a preliminary card?
The one thing is, he's still young. He's got plenty of time. I give him, you know, after everything's clear, he's still got.
The thing is, he's got to get control of his life.
Yeah,
you know, that's what you know. You're talking about a human being here right. Who's got some problems.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to take care of himself first, but he's burning some bridges, man. I'm
yeah,
telling you.
He really is. He messed up big time on this one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not what he did. It's just how he did it to me, you know?
Yeah.
What he did, how he did it, I mean, when I read it, I almost couldn't believe it, you know?
That, I know.
I mean, this should have been like in a breaking news CNN because any athlete, even not at that level, but any athlete, you know, of any association, you know, mid-level, you know, just a bench player.
Yeah.
In the right state of mind would not do that, you know, unless you think you can possibly get away with this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the criminals do in these days, you know. They do things and they just run away thinking they get away, and some do. So this action, what he did and how he did it is, it's... For some reason, I feel like Dana White is going to take it harsh on him, you know, more than anything else or anybody else. Because if he doesn't, then it's going to look bad on the brand. And
bingo.
What if something similar happens to another fighter? How do you take, you know?
I mean,
you can't say, oh, it's John Jones. Let him fight again. Give him back the belt once he gets a chance. I mean, that's like saying that, you know, well, hit and run. What if something worse happened? You know?
Exactly.
But he stayed at the scene and called the cops and called 911.
Yeah.
I think that could have been a different story.
I mean, yeah.
Let's say she didn't break her arm, right? But she was seriously hurt, barely survived. But he did not take off. He manned up, told him that he was intoxicated, and he was worried. He called the cops and saved her life because he called the 911. But instead, he ran away, and he was worried about his wad of cash. That's talking about character and like where his state of mind is.
Exactly.
See, something like that you cannot fix by, you know, putting a, you know, handcuff on him and put him in jail or, you know, fine. That's something you cannot fix. That's something you have to go through like a program or something.
Exactly.
Like completely rewash your brain because that just talks about what kind of person he is, you know?
Exactly.
And to have that kind of character fight for a championship and have possibly millions of people and kids looking up to him. I don't know if USC, you know, Lorenzo and Dana White will allow that to happen. You know what I mean? Because that makes them look really bad.
Oh, yeah. Makes them look really, really bad. And that's, I know.
But they have to gamble here, because if you don't allow him to fight in the big cards again, he will leave and he will go to the other big, you know. But that's a huge game for them, because they just want to have a big fighter.
I guarantee you, Scott Coker is sitting
back. Oh, my God. He's so happy right now. I mean, this is a chance for him.
Yeah.
You know, a year from now, when everything is cleared up, Coker is definitely going to contact John Jones. When you come back, you'll get a title shot. Guaranteed. And he contacts Dana White. Dana White will probably say, you know what? You have to clean everything up. You act up everything. And you have to prove it. John Jones, you know, knowing that his ego is up here, you know, knowing that he knows he's a champion and the best in the world, he's going to take the other option.
Oh, yeah.
Well, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's hard to imagine at that level, but if you're at that level and do something like that, I cannot imagine him actually going through the right thing and wait it out, or, you know, wait for UFC to give him another opportunity, maybe, or possibly never, you know?
I mean, Jones's camp has been, they've been quiet.
Yeah.
And naturally, I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of, hey, it's a good thing. You don't want to go out there and just kind of, you know, there's so much reaction right now from the world of MMA and other, you know, in combat sports, period.
This couldn't happen in a worse
time. Like the one, I was saying. And that's one thing I actually wrote on my daily thoughts section on the blog and the website, which actually you can check out. feeltheimpactsports.wix.com/FTI Sports. Brand new website that we decided to create. It's got everything under one roof. We got a social forum on there, so like a discussion board. It's free. It's very easy to sign up.
Comments, actually. Questions.
Yeah.
Any topics that you want us to discuss?
Everything. Get on there. You know, that's...
Make
you know,
fun of us if you want.
Hey.
Not too much. But.
Yeah. We don't want to cry, but yeah. I mean, come on.
But I mean, it's just, you know, when I read it, I mean, getting in car accidents, sometimes you can't help yourself. You know, you make mistakes.
That happens,
but it's how can you think like that, you know?
I know.
As a responsible human being, even if it wasn't a pregnant woman, I mean, how could you possibly know that? But it's just the fact that that car was driven by another human being, and it was struck by you, that car looks completely smashed. The other person cannot be okay. Even if it's okay, what if she has, you know, shaken up? Maybe, it's whatever it is, the right thing to do is, you know, you call the authorities, you call the ambulance, you know, do what you gotta do. You don't run away. I mean,
exactly. Yep. I mean,
you only see that stuff in cops.
Oh, I know.
Seriously.
Yeah.
People run away, get in accidents, they take off and get arrested by cops. That's what happened there. I mean, this could have been on cops.
Oh, no doubt it could have been. No doubt.
You know?
Bingo. Well, there's also some more, some other news here. It was first reported by Ariel Helwani from MMAfighting.com. Mm-hmm. UFC has signed Michelle Watterson, the karate hottie.
Yeah.
I like that move.
Yeah.
She's the former Invicta Atomweight champion.
Yep.
Now she's going to be in the UFC strawweight. So that's, you know, it's Carla Esparza, you know, Tisha Torres, Ronda Marcos, Felice Herrig, my girl Paige Van Zandt, who, by the way, was simply phenomenal in her fight. My first time I actually sat down and watched Paige Van Zandt fight. And she just dominated Felice Herrig. I was thoroughly impressed.
You know, it's crazy because, you know, in the pictures or whatever, she's so pretty. She looks like a girly girl. Then she sees in the cage, you know, you see her in the cage, and she's intimidating. She's scary.
She doesn't care. And she's, you know, and what I really like, I mean, outside of her looks, too, I think she's stunning, but she truly seems to just enjoy it. She just like looks to me. It comes across like she just enjoys punching people in the face, and she did a phenomenal job with Felice Herrig. And I like Felice Herrig. I think she's a great fighter. You know, it. Regardless, it's going to be great having Michelle Watterson added to this. You know, added to this weight class. I think, you know, it's great. I mean, it's great. You know, I think Dana White's done a great job. And I think the strawweight division, you know what, outside, I think that could be the, I could be the best. Well, there's only two women's divisions, you know, bantamweight, you know, who Ronda Rousey just owns. But then, on the straw weight, I mean, you're adding some quality fighters to that under those two weight class, or under that weight class, I should say, the straw weight. But, you know, good for the UFC, good for Dana White in bringing, you know, a 29-year-old. I mean, she's 29. She's awesome. I mean, she's, you know, Invicta champion, or former Invicta champion. So good for her and good for the UFC. So I'm excited for what she's going to bring to the table. So I just want to get that out there.
You know, UFC, you know, they've been doing so well. And, you know, a couple times, you know, they take a hit, like, you know, John Jones getting arrested, or not getting arrested, turning himself in and getting this trouble. And, you know, obviously when Anderson, I mean, because you have the superstars, you know,
yeah,
that just, like GSP, you know, there's rumor he's saying he's coming back, you know?
Yeah.
He set a record, like a 9-time title defense, Silva with 8 times, I believe. And, you know, John Jones right there, 8 times, he hit one more, could have tied GSP and possibly become the best ever, you know, in the history of MMA.
Yeah.
Taking a downfall. And I mean, Anderson Silva getting tested positive for performance enhancement in the last fight. And now he's saying that he wants to try out for Olympics in Taekwondo, which is nonsense. There's no way he would be able to compete in that level. Not at this stage. I mean, you're going against the kids probably starting at age 4 until they're like 25, 21 years of solid training solely on Taekwondo.
Yeah.
You know? This isn't MMA where you knock people out. This is like very technical point system. There's no way. You know, you ever seen the Kazakh Taekwondo fighters? They are incredible. They do like 4 flips in the air. I don't know how this is possible, but I mean, you know, it's crazy because UFC is creating a whole another, you know, section of, you know, woman fighters, female fighters coming in, and then they took a toll. That's how I feel about it. You know, with Cain being hurt all the time and Fabricio taking out interim, John Jones, obviously, that one took a huge toll. Middleweight Anderson Silva getting hurt, although Chris Weidman, you know, is a solid champion, and he's about to prove to the world that when he beats Vitor, he is for real, and he's here to stay for a long time.
Yeah.
That's the only other fighter that's in the bigger guy session, you know, because he's 170 back and forth. Johnny Hendricks, Robbie Lawler, you know, you got, what's his name, Matt Brown. If GSP comes back, it'd be sweet, because he'll mix into the scene, you know, right back to where he started or when he left off. But you got anything below 155 is still, you know, a solid game. You know, you have Anthony Pettis, who just lost, but I know he's going to get a rematch. He will get a rematch on that.
Yeah.
145, I mean, Aldo and McGregor, it's going to be an awesome event. 135, you got a rematch on Brow and TJ. I mean, it's awesome down there, but...
Oh, yeah.
What I used to love, you know, I used to love watching Frank Mir, you know, when Brock Lesnar was on. You know, even before then, Couture, you know, Rampage Jackson was peaking. I mean, this was like... That's when I was really falling in love with MMA. And now it's taking a huge toll. You're kind of missing that, you know, the real athletic big guys knockout power fight scenes, you know? Mm-hmm. The best of the best fighting against each other. Like, you know, when boxing was huge, you know, you had Tyson and, you know, all the whole, you know, heavyweights piling up. And in MMA, obviously, UFC, you had Randy Couture, Tim Sylvia, these guys. That's when UFC really started to climb the hills.
You know,
with these heavyweights battling it out. Frank Mir breaking Tim Sylvia's arm. It was incredible. And now taking a hit, and now you got this huge boxing. I really do think that boxing is going to catch it back. And hopefully have, you know, Klitschko just won a mediocre fight. I hope he fights the guy, what's his name? I forgot his name. There's a new heavyweight champion. I can't remember his name. Deontay Wilder, that's his name. He's hope he fights because he's holding a 1 belt out of the 4. Vladimir has 3. So hopefully they unify that. Deontay Wilder is like 6'7".
You know, that's what drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Is there's like 400 different belts.
Yeah.
Like, you know, come on.
There are 4 belts per each class. And each belt, each organization represents how many countries you're, you know, allowed to fight out of. So obviously, you know, you can, if you have all 4, you're a legit champion. You unify all of them.
Yeah.
But it rarely happens. It rarely does.
Yeah.
Because if you can't, you know, if you can't fight, let's say, 10 times a year, you're going to have to vacate one of them if you own all 4.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Somebody's going to challenge you. You can't make the time up because you're training for something else.
Yeah.
You know, Mayweather right now has 2. Pacquiao has 1. So there you're going to unify WBO, WBA, and I believe WBC.
Yeah, it's... unified WBA super, WBC and WBO, and the ring welter weight titles. So there's 4 titles.
Uh-huh.
So
this fight cannot get bigger. This is it. And you know what's the beautiful thing about this fight, Chris? Is that when you get this fight started and whatever direction it goes, whatever the result is, it's going to be good for the sports. Because let's say, well, good for both fighters and the sports. Because let's say somehow Pacquiao pulls off this win, right? There will definitely be a rematch. And that's going to bring more money than this one, set a new record. Mayweather's going to be just that much richer. The fight's going to go crazy for this rematch if it happens. And, you know, Pac-Man, I mean, it's going to be the best rivalry in our generation. That's how I see it. And yeah. if Floyd wins, he will maintain the legacy as going down as the best fighter in history. And Pac-Man begging for a rematch. And you're going to see a 240-year-old guy's fight, which will still be awesome.
I mean, right now, Mayweather's 38.
Yeah. That's crazy. Pacquiao's 36, almost 37. No, yeah, I don't know. I know they're a year and a half apart.
Dude, it's crazy. I mean, it's crazy.
This is coming from two complete style, you know, opposite style fighters.
Yeah. I mean, oh, yeah. I'm not a big boxing guy. Mm-hmm. I never have been. I never claimed to be. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, as a combat sports fan, mm-hmm. and hell, as hosts of combat sports mm-hmm. podcasts, we should probably be pretty jacked up about it, which we are. I don't remember seeing a fight that has taken a hold of the media, sports media, mm-hmm. like this fight.
Right.
I mean, NFL draft is tonight.
Mm-hmm.
This
is taking over.
I know. I mean, people in...
I love it.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm excited for the draft as well, don't get me wrong. But in my mindset right now, I'm just waiting and waiting for the next 48 hours to come. Because this fight, because I'm watching Mayweather, it's like watching the god of defense in boxing. You know, he is the best at defense than any boxer I've ever seen in my life in any weight class. Pacquiao is probably the fastest fighter I've ever seen in my life, especially in the footwork. Because he goes in and out sideways way too fast for a normal fighter in that weight class to defend. That's why a lot of them lose, is because, you know, they can't keep up with that footwork. And
yeah.
then he comes in and out, and he throws in odd angles that boxers, you know, opposing boxers don't expect. And they get hit when he's, you know, 4 or 5 punch combo comes in. You know, you block one, you're going to hit with 4 other ones. That's why Cotto lost, you know.
Yeah.
Look at Antonio Margarito. This guy's got like 6 inch on him. And he was against the ropes, just getting banged up. So you're going to see the two best fighters in one side on offense and one side on defense. And honestly, I mean, just to picture it straight up, I can see the very typical Mayweather and very typical Pacquiao going at it, which is Mayweather backing up against the ropes and Conor, you know, and the Pacquiao obviously going it. You know, in and out, move in, throw 2 punches, come out, scoring the points. But also because I feel like they had a shorter period of time to train for this fight. You know, this was not a 6 month preparation for the, you know, size of the person for the fight. It was actually a shorter time. So, I mean, you know, it kind of happened abruptly. You know, all of a sudden, boom, they're fighting for real. You know,
yeah.
Like all of a sudden, they're like, oh no, the contract's not done. Oh no, it's done. We're gonna fight 60-40 purse. It's going for real. So, I could also see a sloppy fight. You know, about first 6 rounds, you know, what you expect, you'll see. And after that, kind of get sloppy and they start to brawl a little bit, hold, you know, throw, you know, dirty punches maybe. But at the end, I really do see Mayweather winning in decision. You know, unanimous. I'm going to say 8-4. I'm going to stick with my decision. I think he was going to win the first 7. I'll give 8-9 and 10 to 8, 9, 10, 11 to Pacquiao. And Floyd is going to seal the deal at the last round. He's going to dodge. He's going to hit and dodge. Make sure he scores the points, but don't get knocked out and get the win. That's how I see it happening. Because
I hope you're right.
Unless you're crazy. I mean, if I was in Floyd's position, that would be crazy enough to fight a Manny style. Because you have way too much risk of being knocked out. And you lose everything, you know?
Yeah.
And Floyd, for him, outside the money and the purse, he has very little to gain. It's just another +1 on his winning record. But that -1, that one on the loss, it destroys everything that he built for the past 21 years in boxing career. You know, it's so much to lose. There's so much weight on him. You know, I just don't see him going in loose and just ready to box him, bro. I just don't see it. That's a crazy talk, you know. Pacquiao, he has everything to gain, very little to lose. You know, he's already got knocked out pretty badly, out cold, lights out, by a guy that, you know, Floyd knocked out. So, you know, I see Mayweather, Pacquiao being very aggressive, and that's what I'm saying.
I think he has to. I think he has to be aggressive, but not reckless. Mm-hmm. Not recklessly aggressive. This is tough because, you know, obviously when you're involved in a fight that they're calling Fight of the Century, you know, the battle for greatness, mm-hmm. you know, you have the number one pound for pound fighter according to ESPN.com and the number two pound for pound fighter. You know, when you have, like...
That's a crazy number that you just said.
I know.
Number one pound for pound, number two pound for pound, meaning the two best fighters any weight class combined.
Are going at it.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be too aggressive to where, you know, Tour comes back and bites you. But you don't want to go out there and say, man, I wish I could have given more, you know? So it's tough, but you have to stay within yourself and what you got. I mean, my God, I mean, Pacquiao is 57-5-2.
He has crazy number of fights.
I mean, 38 knockouts. And, well, you have, you know, Floyd Mayweather, 47-0, 26 mm-hmm. knockouts. I mean...
Pacquiao's got like 20 more fights in it, almost.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But, you know, you do what got you to those numbers, man. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this is... I'm jacked. I'm not going to lie. I am mm-hmm. jacked for this.
And, you know, talk about the price of the ticket, too.
I mean. Oh, man. I mean, you're looking... Let's see what...
You said the cheapest ticket right now is at $3,300?
That's what I saw yesterday on ESPN.
Average ticket price right now is at $4,600? Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I have someone who has a ticket that will sell for face value.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Which is what? What's the face value?
I don't know. He didn't say.
Probably at least a couple hundred dollars.
You're probably right.
At least $400 or $500. I can't imagine.
It's got to be.
Because they waited until like 5 days before the fight or something like that, right? A week before the fight. I mean, they did not start selling until the very latest possible to, you know, build it, you know, tents, and people went crazy for it. I heard there's a company who bought bulk on purpose to sell, to make money off them.
You know,
that's what you do when you're rich, you know? You use money to make more money.
So, you know what kind of baffles me is, like I said, this is the fight of the century is, like I said, exactly mm-hmm. how they're billing it. And yet, they're at the MGM Grand, mm-hmm. which has a capacity of 16-8.
Yeah.
My God, take this outside, man.
Cowboy Stadium. The brand new one.
You know,
only
exactly.
Big stadium in Atlanta. I don't know. You know, they got plenty of big stadiums.
This could have been, I think, so much more mm-hmm. than what. But I mean, they're going to make some cash. You're talking well over 2 million buys, possibly 3 million buys for this fight.
Mm-hmm. And they're saying that the shorts the boxers are wearing are worth about $2 million in sponsors in general. Pac-Man's wearing. The one he's wearing is, they're worth like $2.3 million or something like that?
Let's see.
Some ridiculous number that you don't normally hear.
Well, according to Wikipedia, which obviously, you know, is a credible source, Pacquiao will reportedly make an extra $2.25 million for selling advertisement space to mm-hmm. six companies on his trunks and mm-hmm. entrance headband.
Hey, make their trunks large, baby. Extra large. You get more space.
I'll tell you what. I can promise you, I'd be wearing. Let's see. This is the. Oh, never mind. I was looking at something different. But, I mean, the amount of money in this.
This is not a racing car where you have, you know, multiple space. You're talking about a swim trunk looking shorts, a gym shorts.
I mean, the referee is Kenny Bayless.
Mm-hmm, of course. He refed both of the guys multiple times. So.
Yeah, he's had Mayweather's five of his fights and Pacquiao's seven. Mm-hmm. You know what? And actually, I did hear something very interesting with the. I'm trying to think who was it? Teddy Atlas, I believe it may have been Teddy Atlas. I heard on a show that you know, he was stunned that Pacquiao's camp would allow Bayless to be the referee for this fight. And I was kind of like, okay, I turned up my radio a little bit when I heard it. And so we're talking about the last fight that he had with Mayweather, which was...
It was with a guy who got sucker punched?
It was Marcos Maidana.
Oh, with Maidana, okay.
Apparently, and I don't remember this...
He's on the lefty, too, right?
That apparently as soon as anytime they would get close, he'd break him up.
Mm.
And, you know, that's what... You know, that's Pacquiao. He likes to get in there and...
He'd brawl.
And get going.
Yeah, well, Maidana is more of a dirty boxer.
Yeah.
So he likes to get really close, meaning like... Your foreheads are touching, and then he throws side body punch, you know, body side punches and hooks against you. You against the rope, which what Mayweather does. He's against the rope, so he has no room to run. And Maidana actually hits probably harder than Manny Pacquiao. So he just throws his power shot against you, whether you're blocking or not. And while doing that, you can get hit by an elbow, or you know, get head bumps and bleed. So I'm sure that was like a strategy move by Kenny Bayless, but you're right on that because that could definitely hurt Pacquiao.
Yeah.
Because Pacquiao was too fast that Bayless might think that they're, you know, rubbing against, you know, holding on against each other where they're not. You know, they could be just throwing punches.
Exactly. And when I heard that, it kind of, like I said, it made me turn my head a little bit like, wow, you know, that's interesting. I kind of see what I'm. It could have been Teddy Alice. I could be wrong, but it was interesting. But you know, Kenny Bayless is the, you know, he's the super fight referee. I mean, yes. You look at some of the. I mean, he had Roy Jones and Antonio Tarver one, Hopkins, De La Hoya, Sugar Shane Mosley, Fernando Vargas, De La Hoya, Mayweather, Pacquiao, Juan Manuel Marquez too, and he's had. Obviously, we've mentioned, you know, Mayweather and Pacquiao he's had. And, you know, he's had some big fights of theirs, you know. So, I don't know how big of a difference that's actually going to be. You know, I don't foresee it being too big of an issue.
Yeah, I don't see anybody else referring it, though. You know what I mean?
That's the thing is, you know, who else? I mean, this guy, you know, Kenny Brown, he's making $25,000 for this.
I think it's a little.
It's a record.
Really?
$25,000.
I think he's like $100,000.
I mean,
that's a lot of pressure on this.
He was chosen by the Nevada Athletic Commission, you know. So he's, and I mean, the judges for this for the bout are Burt Clements, Dave Moretti, and Glenn Feldman. They're going to each earn $20,000 for this.
I would love to be a judge, God. Free fight.
I know, man.
They pay for it.
I know.
You're the best seat in the house.
I know. Now the only problem is the whole card, the undercard.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty weak.
And like, you know, like we had discussed actually at work, I mean, he could really load up this card, but, you know.
They're just going for the pay-per-view money, really.
That's all it is. I mean,
people are going to pay and buy and the restaurant's going to be packed and, you know, they're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to miss out on this. Even if you miss out by a one night. There's going to be so much talk that it's not going to be even worth to rewatch it. You know, they're going to be talking about the details of every punch, every box, every round, that you're going to know everything by the time you turn, you know, you turn a Sports Center the next day. You know, they're going to talk about this next 2 days, probably maybe half the amount of, you know, I don't know, 6 hour redundancy they have just over and over again.
Oh yeah,
around the table, and you know,
I mean, they're talking this fight could generate over $300 million.
Yeah.
Holy cow, man.
Imagine this fight gets so close and they claim a rematch. You probably make $500 million next time. If it's that good.
If it's a good fight, I tell you what, I'm throwing that in Cowboy Stadium.
Yeah. You're making billions.
I mean, if it's
Jerry Jones
really...
is going to be very happy, man. The thing is, let's say they make $350 million for this fight. And it's so much better than people will expect, you know? And obviously, it will be a good fight. I don't know if it will be the best fight because I've seen I've seen a lot of good fights in the past 2 decades. You know, Tyson being multiple.
Oh yeah.
But because number one, this is not a heavyweight fight, so you're not going to see a clean, you know, a knockout the first 2 rounds. So unless, it happened when Pacquiao and Ricky Hatton, he knocked him out cold. I paid for that. I was very angry about it. $60 gone in 6 minutes, but. 12 12 rounds, really good, hopefully a couple of knockdowns, you know?
Yeah.
And both camps get, you know, wild up, and they're like, we want a rematch right away in 6 months.
You know what? You could do that right towards the end of the year.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
you're going to make $500 million from this fight. Each fighter is going to have the $100 million guarantee, probably. I mean, that's how it's going to be. And, you know, it's like...
I just hope this fight just doesn't disappoint.
Yeah.
I think that...
There's a very good chance it could, though.
Oh, I know.
Very good chance.
There's a very good chance this could be just a brutal...
Just boring fight.
Everyone, yeah.
Like the fight that we saw with Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley, very boring fight to me. Because, you know, you see Pacquiao obviously won the first fight, but it could have been either way, just like this fight.
Yeah.
You know, you could make a throw, a clean one punch, and Pac-Man hit you with three... you know, slightly semi-block punches, and judges could score either way, and fans are not too impressed. You know, neither wants to go at it because they don't want to lose by a knockout, because obviously the purse is different.
Exactly.
Win by a knockout, and you win by decision, it's a different amount of money you're talking here. So, and obviously you lose by a decision, you lose by a knockout, it's different too. So, it could easily be a boring fight, you know.
Oh, yeah, no doubt it could. And like I said, that would just be...
And I don't want to dog on Floyd Mayweather, but he has a tendency to produce a boring fight, you know?
Yeah.
If you go straight to see who's a better entertainer as a fighter, I would definitely give that to Pac-Man over Floyd Mayweather.
Mm-hmm.
Because the style of fighting first makes it difficult for Mayweather to put a good show, you know? You know, for him being a counterpuncher, he's not gonna be a go-getter. You know, when you fought Canelo Alvarez, I was actually disappointed with that fight. He had like four good shots. I was like, whoa, you know. But everything else, I was like, oh, okay, he's doing the same thing, obviously. And Canelo is too dumb to, you know, adjust to it. Where if you watch the first two rounds, which is, I think this is one of the best fights I've seen in the past 2 decades, actually, is Pac-Man versus Ricky Hatton.
Mm-hmm.
Pac-Man's, two of the Pac-Man's fights are in my top 10 for sure for the past 20 years. Him fighting... Manuel Marquez's first fight was an absolute epic battle. Three knockdowns in the first round, coming back to pull off a draw. I mean, that's crazy. But when Pac-Man fought Ricky Hatton, he knocked him out cold in the second round. You should have seen the first round, because he got knocked down three times too. Ricky Hatton just couldn't catch up. He couldn't catch a breath. I mean, he was just getting hit everywhere. He got knocked down from blocking a punch. He blocked it clean, but Pac-Man was... probably on steroids, because he hit him, blocked, but still knocked him down. That's like, there's no way a 147-pounder can pull that off unless you're on roids, right? And then second round comes. Yeah. Second round comes. Pac-Man, I'm just joking, man. Second round comes. This is where the speed, you know, prevails every fight. Second round comes. Ricky Hatton throws, right? He throws a right overhand. It was almost like an overhand, but a sloppy overhand becomes a hook. Pac-Man dodges it by lowering his head, and he throws a left hook clean to his chin. Knocks him out cold to the canvas. So he dodges, he punches, and he dodges again in one action. And he knocks him out cold. I was like, holy shit. I'm sorry.
You're good.
It was worth the $60, because... I could talk about it. I'm like, yeah, I saw that live. I recorded it. It's in my DVR for the next 10 years. It was amazing. So, that being said, I definitely have to say I really do hope that Pac-Man goes all out. Even if it means that he's going to get caught and get knocked out, it's just going to create that much of an entertainment
fight. I was going to say, that's exactly where I was going to go with that. If it's, you know, mm-hmm. if it's a fight where both guys are just going at it, boom, there you go. It's worth $100 anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But... if not, if it's a bunch of just, you know, chasing each other, it's not
hugging
fun.
And then, you know, dancing around. I mean, if I see Shadow boxing first three rounds, I'm going to be upset.
Oh, I'm going to be livid. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Thank God I'm not paying for it, I'll tell you that.
It sucks because I wish Pac-Man was as angry as, or, you know, as, I don't want to say, you know, it's just a mindset that fighters get prepared in different ways. Like, you know, Floyd Mayweather, you know, he goes straight up, like, I'm going to beat your ass. There's
exactly.
no chance you're going to beat me. And Pac-Man is like, I love to entertain people. Like, come on, man. I want to see you get angry.
If I'm there to fight, mm-hmm. I'm there to knock you out.
Exactly.
That's
clean.
What, That's what it comes down to. Yeah. I'm there to knock you out.
I hate to hear the stuff like, you know, I'm a big fan of Pac-Man, but I hate when he says stuff like, "We're gonna give you a great show and entertain." I'm like, I don't want to see a great show of 12 rounds. I want to see a knockout in the 8th round. I want to see a brutal knockdown first 3 times and then get somebody knocked out
in
the 8th round. I don't want to see 12 rounds of just battling and, you know, somebody started bleeding and some, you know, referee stopped. I'm going to be upset.
The only time
that is not entertaining to me.
Yeah, exactly. If it's a good fight and it goes 12 rounds, boom.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Each fighter's getting knocked down 3 times. That's
exactly.
An amazing fight.
That's what I want.
Rematch right away.
Exactly. Bingo.
Yeah.
So you've got Mayweather.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I'm actually taking. I just think he's going to get it done.
I'm going to bet $100 on Mayweather. I'm going to root for Pac-Man. Win for me.
I can't root for Pacquiao. I can't. For some reason, I don't like him. Yeah. I don't know why.
This guy went through so much. You know, and another thing is, I know he's not scared of anybody in the world.
Oh,
he can't be.
No, you can't be.
You know why? Will Ferrell said it the best on SportsCenter. Because his dad ate his dog. Yeah. For real.
Well, I mean, I can't argue that.
He left home. He ran away after that. Yeah, they were so poor. Own pet. His father, you know, cooked it up for the family. He found out. He ran away and became a boxer. He's talking about a crazy story, right? I know Floyd doesn't have a story that can top that.
I can't go there. I don't know how
you
to approach that.
You can't. You can't even argue that. I mean,
I can't.
If you say Mayweather and Pacquiao's intimidated, that's a lie. I don't think he could ever be intimidated after traumatizing events like that. That had traumatized him so much. And he's like, I don't care. I'm going to fight till I bleed. And, I mean, there's a story that he packed up, you know, weights on his belt to make up the weight to fight bigger guys. I mean, that's a crazy story. And this is obviously a 108, I think.
That's insane.
Yeah. But he needed money. So he had a fight.
You got to do what you got to do, you know. It's one of those situations. What's that?
Who do you have?
I got Mayweather. I think.
Knockout?
No, I think it's going to be a decision. Yeah. I don't see it. I would like to see a knockout. I just don't see it happening, unfortunately. I hope, like I said, I'm hoping for an exciting fight and it goes 12. I think it'll be a decision with Mayweather. I just think, like I said, I think he just gets it done.
It better be worth $100.
I'm not paying for it, so I really don't care. I'm going to Kirk's house for it, so. It better be worth me driving all the way out there. I'll tell you that right now. But it's actually one thing that we had hoped to we had reached out to Cincinnati Boxing Weekly, Steve Holloway, who runs that website. And, you know, you guys are familiar with Steve. We had hoped to actually have him on the show here today, but unfortunately, we just schedule wise, we just couldn't get him on there. But we're gonna try and do another show, hopefully. I mean, well, depending on what actually happens, maybe we can record one if we're all together. Maybe we can record one after the fight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It depends if we're going to be together or not, or what's actually going to happen. But if we can, great. If not, we're going to try and get something done next week. It's going to depend on my baseball schedule. I'm almost done with baseball, so you'll hear, once the season's over with, you'll obviously hear a lot more of us.
Absolutely.
But you know, regardless, I think this is a, you know, real quick, does this fight, do you think it saves boxing? Or do you think boxing needed to be saved?
Boxing definitely needs to be saved, but I don't know if this fight can save boxing is another thing, because, you know.
What if it's just a phenomenal fight?
Like we're talking. They'll definitely, you know, there's a good chance to save them. But once again, you're talking.
Like, you know, I said, the hype of this fight is just simply amazing.
Yeah, you got one class where everybody wants to see, you know. You got 2 pound-for-pounds best in the world in one class. And you got 13 other weight classes that nobody really cares about.
Yeah.
You got one guy in heavyweight who has 3 belts. Hopefully he fights Deontay Wilder. That'd be great. In between, you used to have these great fighters, you know. Bernard Hopkins. He's still fighting, but he's 51 years old. Come on.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
You know, so, yeah, it's hard to save a boxing where you only have one weight class.
Yeah.
And because you're not going to see them fight every year. If we're lucky, we're going to see them fight again. If. So, whether it's a great fight or a mediocre fight, you know, chances are this probably won't save boxing. That's my guess. You're going to have to come up with a new superstar, because truth is, these guys are winding down too. They're almost 40. You know, they don't have much years left, and they're going to be definitely Hall of Famers. But if you look at it right now, you don't really see any other superstars emerging. That's the sad part of boxing. You
know? Exactly, yeah.
People want to see MMA. People want to be MMA fighters. You don't have a lot of boxers, you know, kids growing up to go to boxing gym, because boxing first is a third world country sport. That's how I always put it, you know?
Yeah.
That's why you got Mexico, you got, you know, kids in, you know, in the slums, they just love to fight. Philippines, you know, General Santos City. That's one of the, you know,
yeah,
one of the roughest neighborhood or city in the Philippines. So, you know, as countries and, you know, worlds get more developed, you're gonna see less and less of boxing. And you're going to see more diverse sports like MMA,
yeah,
where it requires multiple talents. Or if you dominate in one talent, you can possibly, you know, dominate the sports like, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. But it takes skills and techniques. You know, it takes more than just, you know, like boxing, more than just speed and training and, you know, athleticism. It takes more than that in MMA. You know, it takes brain, you know, skills and mindsets and a game plan, because it's not a one-dimensional sport. So
exactly.
I think that chances are it's not going to save boxing, and boxing is unfortunately winding down after this fight.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
It's a sad truth, because it used to be awesome.
Oh, I know. Boxing was
80s and 90s, man.
Yeah.
With Tyson, oh my.
Boxing was where it was at, and it's, you know, and now unfortunately it's just not, it's not that anymore. But, you know, hey, that's, you know, unfortunately that's the way it is.
Yeah.
You know. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I think that'll probably be it for today's show. But you know, please, everyone, check out the website. It's feeltheimpactsports.wix. That's wix.com/FTI Sports. Like I said, that's the brand new website that we had just launched. Actually earlier this week. So, you know, please check it out. Like I said, that's where you can get all of the interviews that we have done, you know, the one with Jonathan Maurer, the baseball agent, also the ones we did with Rob Hanna and Lauren Davies for the Elite Fighting Series. We do have something we're going to try and set up with Rob White and Matt Rauman from Reed Academy of Mixed Martial Arts. That we're hoping to get that something set up there next couple, hopefully next week or two. If we can get something set up, it'd be great.
Definitely after your baseball season.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. Yeah, once baseball season's done, then, like I said, you'll see a lot more of us. I know Kirk is going to be attending Monday Night Raw when it comes to Cincinnati on May 11th.
By himself.
Yeah, by himself. Yes, agreed. I'm hoping that he will be able to provide a good amount of coverage for that as well. Trying to think if there's anything else here really on the docket. Other than that, like I said, check out the website. Please, you know, leave feedback for our shows. Please rate us online on iTunes, everything like that. Follow me on Twitter. I am Chris Asbrock. Jen, you gotta get on Twitter, man.
Yeah. Thinking about it.
You should.
Yeah.
You should.
Maybe I'll take a gander.
There you go. That's what I like to hear. Or you can also follow us at FTI Combat Sports. Like us on Facebook. You can find all that information on the website. But again, we'd like to thank Dickie's Barbecue Pit for being, you know, the main sponsor for the show. Again, check out Dickies.com. The two brand new locations opening up here in the Cincinnati area, the one in South Lebanon, which is open now, and then the one upcoming here in Mason, Ohio. I believe that's it. You know, I think this has been a pretty good show. Yep. And we will, you know, we'll be back at it here, I don't know, hoping next week. So we'll give another shot. So with that being said, we'll sign off, and, you know, we'll see you guys.
Until next time.
Yeah, until next time.
Watch the fight.